Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What up? Boom. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the holiday season is upon us. And for many of us, it means we're going to have 12 cheat days of Christmas when it comes to our diet. But don't freak out. Our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition have got you covered with Carb Defender. Now, Carb Defender is an amazing supplement that you take before you eat a high-carb meal to help reduce the negative effects of excessive carbohydrates. The holiday season is a perfect time to have some Carb Defender on hand so you don't lose all the progress you made in the gym. Combine Carb Defender with our best-selling Fat Burner X-Lean 5 for an ultimate fat burn experience and to be ready to attack 2024 in your best shape ever. Go to LegacySubs.com and use code K100 to get a 10% discount and help the show. K100 is the most used discount code at LegacySubs.com. We're very proud of our K100 fan for supporting Legacy and taking pride in their bodies. I'll be honest with you. Every holiday season, starting around Thanksgiving and stuff like that, I always put on about 5 to 10 pounds because I cheat far too much. So I have actually recently ordered my Carb Defender and the X-Lean 5. And come March, the weight will be back off, a little bit of exercise, keep the diet clean. Legacy Subs combined with good diet and exercise can't be healthy.
Well, this is one, they've been with us for years now. We've been doing, you know, great business with them. One of the biggest selling items is that natural testosterone booster. A lot of people have been really putting that over.
I hear about it all the time in the Discord, and just people on Twitter will hit me up and say, thanks for, you know, the recommendation and all that. People really dig this stuff.
It increases your strength, your energy, and your libido, improves sleep and well-being. And a lot of people really like the TEDx 9. What do you like, Joe?
I actually took Nick's advice and I did add the Carb Defender. So I do the Carb Defender with the X-Lean 5 now. And between that and the other dieting stuff I'm doing and getting a little more exercise, you know, I feel tremendous and sleep's better. And it makes you feel better overall. You drop a couple pounds. You don't realize, hey, that's why my back hurt. you know, or something like that. So this stuff has been a big help.
All right. So, you know, we always try to look after your well-being and your hygiene and your health. This is another example. Sponsor's been with us for a while. By the way, for those of you in the know, Nick Aldis is still on probation. That will never change. And get your supplements at Legacy Supps. Boom.
It's LegacySupps.com.
Boom.
Next is from JG, and the subject is Tony Khan is weak. Hey, K100, my topic of discussion is I don't think AEW will be around in 5 years from now. Khan is weak as a leader. Say whatever you want about VKM and Dana, but they're top dogs. They know how to lead real men, and they command respect. Khan is an effing fanboy. Roster has no real respect in shows. This is an alpha industry. It never has been. It never hasn't been. Thanks, and that's JG from New Jersey. Is that two from JG, by the way? That's
yeah.
Two. Yeah, we have to spend them. Let's spend them for a week. Now, bro, they're not... Bro, the amount of money that they're losing in AEW is like it's like a drop in the water for Tony. They're worth like $8 billion. Like people keep saying they're going to go out of, they're not going to go out of business. The guy's pockets are too deep for them to go out of business. You know, I don't know where this is coming from.
It's so. Like if you take the K100 audience and use it as like, you know, a sample size of the wrestling fans, there's always a negative Tony email or two. But as you can see, there's a lot this week. There's a lot. You know.
Yeah. Next is from Narsk Rigigig.
I'm going to say the same thing that I've said before. Tony's in a very hard position. You know, he grew up, think about this, Glenn. He grew up watching wrestling, Glenn, right?
Mm-hmm.
And going to the matches and getting autographs like any other normal fanboy with those chat rooms or whatever the fuck they were called back then.
Message boards.
Those message boards, right? Okay. So he grew up from that era, and now these guys are working for him, bro.
Right.
It's like Samoa Joe's working with me. Chris Jericho's working for me. All these guys are working. So he's out there thinking, I'm going to be a good guy and let him do what they want to do. At the end, they're going to do what's best for them and not the company.
Right.
And I don't know how long it's going to take you to see that. And I don't know why you think this is all like, oh, we're piling on Tony. I've said it here, much to the non-delight of many people. I think you're a cool dude just to sit down and chop it up about movies and sports and shit. But bro, you just got to fucking take command of that fucking company.
Right. Yeah. Next is from Narsery. You can subject Goldberg, still Goldberg. Bill Goldberg was released on a podcast or radio show, which he called Vince McMahon a piece of shit because he didn't give him an official retirement match. Now, I'm a wrestling veteran like you guys, but in my marking opinions, working Roman Reigns in a stadium while getting a nice big Saudi money payday is a pretty cool way to end a career. Conan Disco, what do you think about Goldberg's comments? Personally, I think Goldberg's final run in WWE was horrible. Some of the worst matches of all time happened, such as Goldberg versus Taker, Goldberg versus Lashley, and Goldberg versus Braun Strowman. Plus, don't you find it strange that Goldberg still thinks that Vince McMahon is running WWE? I never heard.
Can I say something first?
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, you know, it wasn't about being good matches. People knew they weren't going to be good. It was just about seeing Goldberg for maybe one of the last times. It was able to. They were able to sell it to Saudi Arabia. Believe me, he did his part. Nobody was expecting no fucking masterpieces. And who knows if maybe he talked to this about Vince and Vince said he was going to give him retirement match and they didn't. But who also knows how maybe they could do it next year. I mean, there's a lot of things here that I don't really know.
Do you want to hear the whole quote?
Go ahead.
Goldberg? Okay, so he said, Vince is like Dana White. He's the big boss and he makes everything happen. And in all honesty, he gave me the opportunity to put my wife and son in the front row and gave me the ability to perform again in front of them. So I owe him everything until we went to Saudi Arabia and he asked me to put Roman Reigns over and I had COVID. I remember calling him from my house and I said, here's the deal. I'll do it if you give me a retirement match. And I did what he asked. As a performer, I was 56 years old as a human being. Your conscientious, wow. Can someone say that for me?
Conscientious.
About how you look in a bathing suit, especially 2 months prior to being in that bathing suit, you couldn't work out because you had COVID. I put myself in a horribly shitty situation to get what I wanted to, but to satiate him and give him what he wanted, promise he never held up his bargain. Vince is a piece of shit, as far as I'm concerned.
Interesting. Well, I can't. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we weren't dead, but that's what I thought. I thought maybe they promised him a retirement match, and now he's pissed. So I was kind of right.
Yeah.
Okay. Next one's from Michael Thomas. Subject: Roosh entrance. Happy New Year, K100 crew. Just saw randomly in my Twitter timeline the rest of Roosh's entrance on a wrestling show. I'm not sure what it was or where, but the guy used Chris Benoit's WWE theme for his entrance. What are your thoughts on this? Personally, I think it's a dick move and not cool at all. Peace out. Michael's sick. I don't know. I don't. I, First of all, the people that run the show are the ones with the music. So,
bro, I wonder what percentage of fans picked up on that, because I haven't.
I just looked it up real quick, and it was
serious.
This guy must have just seen it, because this took place a year ago.
Right.
A year and a half, May 2022.
Wow.
Well, whether it was a year and a half or not, you know, like, I don't even think he probably even knew who he probably did know who Benoit was, but I don't think he knew what his music was or anything like that.
Next is from some guy. Subject is Tony Khan trying to prove Jim Cornette wrong. Hey, K100 crew, from the AEW side, it seems like anything or anyone Jim Cornette approves of in AEW won't get a push. Example, once the Guns were approved by Jim, they went downhill after their title run. I won't keep going about the talent wasted, but my question is, should Tony Khan stop spending so much time on social media? I don't think he's doing him any favors, and he's reacting to the wrong stuff while he has talent with great potential and isn't using them the right way. Love the show. Keep up the real 100. I mean, it seems like this guy spends an inordinate amount of time on social media, you know, especially for a guy that has three jobs and has to write three shows. Like, I don't know how – I honestly do not know how he manages his time, you know. You got a comment on
that? Because half of his job is reading to see what people are saying about him.
Right. That seems like it, right?
That interests him a lot. Bro, right. when he learns that cannot be any determining factor in what you're going to do except for, like, business and shit –
right,
you're gonna be a lot stress free. You're getting hammered. You're getting hammered right now, and you're gonna continue to get hammered. What?
Remember, Vince McMahon would have Howard Finkel would keep up on all that stuff. He wouldn't right. interested in it. He said to Howard right. Finkel would come and tell him if there's anything relevant that he should know that was happening in WCW social media or anything. You know, so
right.
Well, remember,
Tony does it himself. Yeah. So,
right. Yeah.
And I think I sent you guys this. Remember that Tony mentioned that he utilizes the cage match site to
right.
determine.
Did you hear this,
Cody? The shows are.
Did you hear this?
Something about. Whose cage match?
It's just a wrestling site with wrestler match history and titles, and it's like a biography site for all the wrestlers, all of them. And then it rates uh-huh. shows. So basically, you click on a rating like you
but
would
is it
on
a big IMDb. Site?
It's
or
like
no?
a Rotten Tomatoes for wrestling.
Yes. It's
okay,
really
so
good.
It's a pretty big site.
It's good for right. research and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can right. always find something there. But Tony said, we've had some of our best shows we've ever done. And this year, if you look at 2023, and just to use as an example, you can look at fan feedback from different shows. One site that measures that is Cage Match. Look at the top 100 shows this year. Look at how many of them are from AEW. And if you throw the version of Ring of Honor in there too, you get some more, but it's pretty incredible. And the top 100 shows that I've had over 50 votes, top 100 shows even more so that I have over 100 votes. Look at these and look at how many of them happened in 2023 from AEW or a couple more from Ring of Honor. And that speaks pretty highly, I thought, but much more. So I would talk TV ratings.
Think about that, bro. He's literally like that's like basically saying, okay, I don't care if we're losing money. Dave Meltzer likes our matches, and you should really look at that. That's what he's
and
telling
well,
everybody.
This is know? What I would also say is that I would also think. So you've got all these great matches, the best 100 matches of the year. Okay, you had the most of those. How do you correlate that into making money?
Right.
Because the other side, who didn't have the greatest match of the year, made a ton more money.
That's
not the end all and be all, bro. Just giving great matches for you and the super, super niche, super mark. I love wrestling. Good wrestling work rate. It's not as big as you think.
Yeah.
Now, would you guys be, because like Conan said, yeah, it's or Disco, it is like Rotten Tomatoes. People will come in and rate matches and rate performers. Would you guys like to know how you rank on Cage Match?
Sure. Why not? Cause I know that's it. I know these marks. Don't
yeah, I think a lot of your ratings are personal and not yeah. But right. Conan is currently rated as a 6.43 out of 10. And Disco, you are a 5.12 out of 10 right now.
Yeah. All right. So that doesn't bother me at all.
Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Tired of wasting time and money on starvation diets that lead to more frustration and stress? If there was a weight loss solution that could actually work for you, would you try it? Then head to Golo.com.
I'm Steve. I lost 138 pounds in 9 months on Golo.
I'm Amber. I've lost 128 pounds with Golo taking release.
If you're ready to take back control of your life, head to Golo.com now and see how Golo can work for you. That's Golo.com.
My sleep is way better. My inflammation has gone way down. Golo saved my life. I was way overweight. That's what sent me down the path. I wanted to make sure and live for my kid.
I have literally tried everything. I was on the verge of getting gastric bypass surgery, and I saw the Golo commercial, and it was the last thing I tried because it worked.
Join over 2 million people who have found a better way to lose weight with Golo. Your healthier and happier life begins at Golo.com. That's G-O-L-O.com. Again, G-O-L-O.com.
Yo, guess what?
What up?
K100 with Conan and Disco is brought to you by Get Blitzed.
Yes.
Want to hear about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Get Blitzed was created by Mickey Ray Sinatra from Mo Thug South, plus Courtney. She's the brains of the operation. The big product here, the number one seller, is their nano-infused THC syrup. This is the real deal THC, not the garbage they sell in the gas stations. It's very potent, like THC on steroids, like super potency. And it has a 5 to 15 minute onset with as little as a teaspoon. And it's perfect for the weekend, relaxing, for a party. There's no hangover. You can take the teaspoon by itself, or you can mix it with water, soda, juice, energy drink, whatever you want. Flavors like cherry and grape are both delicious either way. So you can go to getblitz.com, that's GETBLITZED.com, and use the code K100, that's K100, to get 15% off. That's not, you know, that's a pretty decent little discount there. I tried it, incredibly relaxing. I used to sometimes, after work, I would do a shot of bourbon after work to like wind down before I go to sleep. That's all I do now is get blitzed. Mm-hmm. Relaxing, chill, it's perfect.
What do you usually drink it with?
I just drink it out of the thing. I just do a shot. Like,
wow, it's hardcore. You know,
not really. It's just like a quick little, quick split. Like, I know what a teaspoon is.
Yeah, yeah.
So
drink a teaspoon of it. Yeah,
right,
I like to mix it.
Right.
How about you, Joe?
I mixed the cherry one with Coke or Sprite. And actually, I'll have a gummy or something here and there. I'm not a big smoker, but. The Get Blitzed, I've already ordered my second bottle. It's that enjoyable. You put your little spoon into a glass of soda, and you're just sipping, relaxing, playing a game, or even editing or anything. And it works, dude. You chill, and I wound up doing it a few nights a week. It's good stuff.
I can't imagine anybody that tries this won't have 100% satisfaction from the product. So if you're looking to up your game and avoid low quality imitations with shady ingredients, check out Get Blitzed now at GETBLITZED.com. That's GETBLITZED.com and use our code K100 to get 50% off. Order, enjoy, and let us know on Twitter or at K100questions@gmail.com how your experience was. That's 50% off with the code K100 at getblitzed.com.
You just want to get baited, you just want to relax, or you just want to get blitzed? Boom, getblitzed.com.
Well, I quote tweeted Dave because Dave was talking about how, you could learn. Like, Joe, try to find that tweet. I think it's from a week ago.
Okay.
Just find it. We'll come back and we'll circle back. Okay. Find the tweet where I quote tweeted Dave. And, okay. Because he said something very similar to that. Next is from Dave Johnson, Disco Dating Game. Greetings, Disco. I've been seeing clips of you and Kim and Jericho in the dating game in the 90s. My question is, was this rehearsed before the show? Who won? Did they actually go on the date with the woman? From David J. All right. So this is a funny story. The producers come to us before the show and they're really putting over how hot the girl is. Okay. Jericho ended up winning, did not end up going on the date with her. And the girl looked I wouldn't have kicked her out of bed, but it's definitely not a girl that I'd be.
Bro, but here's the best part of all.
That would show off in public, you know?
So this was the best part of all because it just showed how I got worked. And I grew up watching The Dating Game. Did you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So I was like, wow, what the fuck are these guys doing here? Because I asked Jericho, yo, so what up with you and that girl? Did you guys hook up or what? And he goes, oh, no, she took her boyfriend. I took my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that it was already prearranged. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Next is from Adrian Orloff. Somebody's Sabu. Howdy, crew. 7 year plus Patreon member here and wishing you all the very best for the holiday season. I know we don't take requests, but I was hoping as part of the holiday spirit, we can hear Disco's version of Sabu's entrance music. I'm willing to risk a yellow card in order to hear this. Thanks. And that's from Adrian. I don't take requests. I might do it on the outro though, as a special surprise. I cannot do it in this email because it would be honoring the request. All right. And we don't do that on the show, right?
K100.
Okay.
This rate, is this the one here? Let's go.
Let me see. What does it say?
We have a 4-year
yes, same. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, yeah, okay. But read what Dave says. Because they're talking about – everybody's getting on Tony about the cage – bringing up the cage match ratings, right? So what does he say here?
Okay, so the guy – this guy, Juice Springsteen, said, imagine Bischoff citing the Observer star ratings as a reference for booking shows in WCW. I can't believe Tony Khan would openly admit this, even if true. To be fair, TK is really trying to book AEW for the fans, good or bad. And Dave responds, what's funny is this shows how out of touch former wrestling people are to the real world. Always look at a similar subject, such as movies or TV. I've talked to people in the movie business for years, and they reference scores by critics as well as fan-based reaction scores all the time. Dwayne Johnson always referenced exit polling audiences scores in his movies. TV people obviously look to ratings as well as how it fares with critics and audiences. Okay. Disco said, okay, so we have a 4-year sample period where the match ratings of one company significantly outperform the match ratings of the other, but the one with the lower match ratings significantly outperform the other company in attendance, TV ratings, and revenue.
Correct, right?
Yeah, so what we kind of said you? The same thing, yeah.
Right, you right. said right. You were thinking the exact same thing. Yeah. I was thinking that. Like, dude, right. as you talk about, that's my whole point. It's like, where is AEW failing? No, he didn't. But of course, all the AEW fans, a lot of people agree with me. It's like 50-50. But the point being there is like, if they're scoring so high in all your metrics, why are they still losing money? It's like either your scores, your ratings of their matches are inaccurate, or like I said, that doesn't really equate to business match ratings. And it doesn't, because I've always said the dimes are drawn before the match takes place. You got to get, I mean, the people are paying to watch characters build to a feud and have a match. It doesn't really matter how good the match is if the match drew. Like the promoter, you want a good match. But if the match was the shits, but you had a full house, is the promoter upset about that? Like promoters, people running wrestling shows don't want to have half full houses with great matches. They want the place to be packed and make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? That's, but unfortunately, yeah. when a guy's a billionaire.
Let me just tell you something. Even though he isn't pissed because it's packed, that's the one time a year, or one of the very few times a year, where you're going to have a chance to do things that are going to stick in people's minds. And that's where you want to do it, in front of your biggest audience of the year. You know what I'm saying?
All right. This is an interesting
so
one.
So they come
some,
back.
Yeah. Next one's from Who Cares? Subject to the January 6th statement by Conan saying Trump caused all the violence. So there's gonna be a MAGA guy here, Conan. Yeah, right. Conan, maybe you should be yellow carded for misinformation. This comment surprised me from you. You're normally really accurate when you comment about politics, except for Gavin Newsom. This one may deserve a suspension about saying Trump caused the January 6th. Do you know who was head of security? Nancy Pelosi. Do you know who asked her to call the National Guard for January 6th event ahead of time to handle security? Trump did. FBI agents in the crowd to help incite the violence. Look at all the videos of the security letting people in. It was an inside job, period. Please go look at the evidence. I can go on forever with evidence showing it was an inside job. I believe our government is at an all-time high for corruption. Call me crazy. If the 2024 elections are stolen like they've been in the past by these corrupt Fs they have in power now, mark my words, the United States won't exist within the next 2 years. We'll be banana republic, probably worse. Do you have any comment to this?
Bro, that's the problem, that, you know, one side doesn't want to hear the other side. They think they're right, and both sides do it. And I think he assumes that I'm like a Democrat, when I've said it many times. I trust no politician, no party. I espouse none of their beliefs or ideologies. I stopped believing in our government a long fucking time ago. It's all a fucking work. They just get the guys with the fucking, you know, good look, or that gets along with everybody. Oh, I'd like to have a beer with him. Yeah, I'd like to have a hot dog with him. Yeah, well, he's also making millions of dollars at your expense. So I don't really get caught up in all of that, bro, or conspiracy theories. And so, you know, if you don't agree with me, that's cool.
Yeah. I would say this too about Trump and Obama. Both of them come across as guys you want to sit down and watch sports with.
100%.
And Clinton
100%.
Was too.
Even Bush.
And George W., yeah.
Even Bush.
Yeah,
because he owned a baseball team.
Remember Obama used to give his final four picks.
Yeah,
on
ESPN.
On ESPN, right? He was in his bracket, or they like.
No, it's
like
sometimes he do the whole 64 team bracket.
Right, you want to go sit on his couch with beer and watch March Madness with him, you know?
Right. Plus, he could play. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Trump likes boxing. You know, Trump is a combat sports guy. Yeah. Loves boxing.
UFC. He was at the last UFC fight.
Yeah, he's a huge Yankee fan.
Kid Rock.
Right, yeah. He's a huge Yankee fan and stuff like that. So,
dude, he still does it. He does it every year for the men's and women's tournaments.
Yeah, so it's funny too, in a couple months. Because Trump they were asking Trump, like why did the Yankees suck? And he says, ever since they got rid of Steinbrenner. They haven't been the same since, you know?
He ain't lying.
Yeah, right. This is from David Taylor. So this question about Joe on a pool table. Hikonian, JoJo, and the nose that knows. Suspension 1 week. On the Ravens podcast, Joe was telling a blue story about a pool table to a girl he once knew. And him sending his wife the photos? I wanted to bring this to your attention for review and discussion. Sounds like fake news if you ask me. And thanks, that's of Dave the Rave. Joe, the mic is yours. Could you respond to this, Joe?
Sure. Here's what happened. Before my wife and I got together, we were very tight. And, you know, it was like a thing where you hook up here and there, but really you're just good friends. And so I was out for my birthday one night. I was dating a different girl at the time. And since it was my birthday, we went to the upstairs of the bar and we were fooling around on the pool table up there and took a couple of pictures while it was going on. And somewhere in the conversation with my now wife, who was my friend then, I mentioned what had happened. While referring to something else, she said, I'd like to see that. And I thought she meant the sexual situation that I was, and she didn't, but I did send her a couple of pictures of me with another girl. Yes. In, you know,
wow.
Sexual Congress, if you will.
What do you think about that? This story, Joe?
I'm not sure what he just told us.
Joe says,
so you went out and you fucked around with some other chick and sent pictures and your wife was cool with it?
Because she asked him, I'd like to see that. Yeah. Meaning like she was being sarcastic, like, yeah, sure. Like, I'd like to see that. So Joe took it literally and actually sent her the pictures like a schmuck.
But she wasn't my wife.
And you had no problems coming into the house?
No, she wasn't my wife then. She was a friend.
Right.
Yeah, we were buddies.
Joe was actually trying to prove. So why would she say that? Like, I'd like to see that.
So now she can, now that we're married, she of course can hang it over my head all she wants.
Next one's from Jerome Jones. Subject is AEW lacks stars. Conan and Disco. There are plenty of superstars from WCW. Booker T, Flair, Goldberg, Conan, Disco, Luger. The list goes on and on. Did you see Tyrese Halliburton mark out for seeing Booker T the other day?
No.
Yes.
So they're at the Pacers. You know, like on the tunnel, like underneath the building where they come out through the tunnel and stuff and everything. They were backstage. And there's the area where the players walk and the fans are behind the rails where the players are walking out onto the court, right?
Here, I'll play
it. And Booker T, show this. This is actually
20,
cool.
20 seconds. Yeah, I figured, you guys will like this. Right. Conan will like it.
Booker T, boy. No way. And the queen. Oh, my God. I'm a big young dude, man. Booker T, y'all here?
I like that.
Yeah. Yo, Halliburton is just a straight killer, bro.
Yeah. Yep.
He's the future. Yeah.
Conan.
What up?
Gentlemen across the nation, I have an urgent message for you. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. The brand that took your balls to space is now launching them into the Ultrasphere, introducing the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Featuring new cutting-edge design and next-generation dual skin-safe blade heads for different shaves. It's pretty much a spaceship to take your boys downstairs to the next level. Join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the brand new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100. High tech for low places, Manscaped. So we've been using this product. It's like our favorite product. All of our listeners probably heard this ad before. For all the new ones, you got to get with Manscaped. Every man knows how scary it is when going for a close shave below the waist. Like, you get a nick down there and it's trouble. Ouch. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas. I'm lucky to be one of the first to try the new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. And say it's a game changer is an understatement. This fifth generation trimmer features two next gen interchangeable skin safe blade heads, a standard trimmer blade for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go for that smooth finish whenever your heart desires. No more wet shaving down there? Count me in. This bad boy also features dual LED spotlights to provide contrast of multiple skin tones, so you can shed some light on your darkest places. We're talking three light setting combos for all your desired lengths, and oh, did I mention this trimmer is waterproof too? Use it in the shower or the bathtub. Manscaped has you covered. This puppy comes with a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. Right? So, we can't describe how cool this product is and what they give you. It's very modern looking, fair price. You know, this right here is on the cutting edge of cutting pubes. Upgrade your ball trimmer and your life will follow. you got to try this product. You get 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100Manscaped.com. That's 20% off. If you're spending $100 on something, $20 is a pretty good chunk of change to, as a discount, right? So that's 20% off plus free shipping with the code K100 at MANSCAPED.com. Your balls have been through enough. Time to go ultra with Manscaped.
Now, as you said, we've been with Manscaped for a while. They stay on K100 because our listeners have come through and have purchased some of the products. What isn't in the copy or we haven't said is that the K100 code, 20% off and free shipping, is like in perpetuity. So a lot of guys subscribe and then get their monthly spray and monthly blades and whatever they subscribe to. But every time your order comes with your subscription, you get the same 20% off and the same free shipping.
Right. And the great thing about this, everything they do is high quality. They also have a really good deodorant, you know, a shampoo, a body wash. The trimmer itself, the 5.0, is incredible because it's already the fifth generation. Like, it's almost like every year they come out with something new and better. Mm-hmm. And believe me, this is great because you don't just use it for your nether regions. You can use it on your arms. You can use it under your arms. You can use it on your face, your chest, your hair. You know, get two of them so you can, you know. And it's a great product. Stay clean. Stay groomed. All at manscaped.com. Boom.
Okay, next one's from...
it's always cool to see stars marking out over the, you know, the wrestlers. It's always very cool.
Okay, let's continue the email. The Continental Classic was a nice opportunity to build a new star like Brody King or Andrade, but it was wasted on the usual Moxley Kingston wins. Can you two explain the process of building a new star? Jerome Jones. The guy's got to just look at LA Knight. Guy, you go out there and you nail it. They're giving you an angle, okay? And usually building stars happens organically, okay? Because, bro, they were just feeding LA Knight to what's his name? Bray Wyatt, okay?
Right.
And he was just supposed to be fodder for Bray Wyatt. And Bray Wyatt was coming back. It was all his fanfare. Like, oh, Bray, he's one of the greatest talkers of all time. You know, so, and, bro, LA Knight ripped him a new ass on the mic. Mm-hmm. And it was like, bro, he's coming across like the one guy's coming across as a star. He's like making the other guy look like a jabroni.
Yeah.
And things like that happen again. And then you look at that and you're saying, this kid's getting over. And you just continue the push. He rises up the card. And you look at your card. You look at who he's on equal terms with. And you look at who's above him. And basically, you put him with the guys he's on equal terms with. And you elevate him past those guys up into the next guy in the card. What happens at AEW is they, you know, a guy will get a win. Everybody will say, oh, he's a star now. And the next angle he's in is a guy that's below him on the card. And it's like, that's not how you, that's where the lack of star building comes from. The guy needs to keep rising up through the ranks. Like, who was it? There was somebody, who was it that, got Orange Cassidy won a title. Like, his first angle was with one of these, like Ring of Honor guys or something. And I was like, why is he feeling? Remember that we were talking about this? Like, why is he fighting this guy? That guy's like that, you know, but that's how you do it. So, Cody, you got anything to add to that?
I know, just guys are, you know, most of it does happen organically. And then you just try to ride the wave and catch it and ride it and expand it. And sometimes you've got to take a guess and say, hey, I think this guy has a potential making, and I'm going to push him and see if you're right or wrong. But
you tell the other guy, hey, look, he's going to go over on you. And right. Usually most of the time, it's like, you know, when you have a good locker room, the other guys can see this guy's getting over and they have no problem with it. Sometimes you run into guys that have difficulty relinquishing their spot. And they don't want to do the job. And I'm sure Conan, you've dealt with that in Mexico, like far more often than it happens here in the States, you know?
Right.
I would suggest. Yeah. I mean, let me ask you a question. How many times have your veteran guys, when they have to put one of these younger cats over, what percentage of the time would they give you shit about it?
Well, usually when I go in there, I already have a plan going forward where they're going to end up looking good. So I already come in with that plan in there. Right. But I can tell just by the way they sell it and the way they want to put over, I would say like still 80% of the times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. Next was in Jorge.
Yeah, because nobody wants to lose their spot. And they think that if they lose, they're losing their spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Next is from Jorge Pata. Subject is mailbag. Hey, team. George from Vegas here. Before I ask any questions, I'd just like to say that it's very annoying to hear wrestlers talk about the evolution of wrestling as somehow better than before. They should simply refer to it as the change of wrestling. In any case, a 35-year-old man with a six-pack, tattoos, and 70 part of his body, and In any case, as a 35-year-old man with a six-pack, tattoos on 70% of my body, and 5'11", I'm not your average wrestling fan. I don't speak about my passion for it with other people in real life, as it's embarrassing to be classified as a fan alongside average fans who have only made love to their hand and not a woman. For you, it might be different because you made a living off it, but to an average person, do you ever feel ashamed to say you're involved with wrestling? I'm not ashamed, but outside of coming on this podcast, bro, wrestling's not popular in my social circle. Like, I got two guys at work that watch it, and they'll come my friend Kareem's one of the magics from Africa, right? He watches it pretty regularly, but when wrestling comes to town, Steele, my manager, I'll get tickets so they can take his kid, but his kid doesn't watch they don't watch the shows. They just go to see it when it's in town because it's a fun event to take kids to, you know, the WWE is. So, but like, I don't, you know, I won't say that I'm embarrassed to say that I'm in professional wrestling. It's just that it's just not discussed like it used to be. You know, wrestling was way, like five times as many people used to watch the shows as they do now. So it's just difficult finding people with the thing. Bro, everybody used to talk about wrestling all the time. Like they used to call it water cooler talk. Like everybody, like, bro, the kids at school were all talking about wrestling the next day. Right. And you would see video clips of this, you know, stuff. So it's like, you know, it's just different now. But like I said, it's just not. I'm never embarrassed because I did it for a living, but it's like, it's just not popular like it used to be, you know, even though WWE just did their best business in a calendar year they've ever done, you know, how great they are at marketing. So what about you, Conan?
Yeah. And nobody I know really kind of most of my friends are in the business, but I'm talking about my friends outside of the business. They don't really watch wrestling. I'd probably be more embarrassed if they had to watch what I'm watching, but they probably don't.
Right.
And I think that really, like, 9 out of 10 times when I have told people, and I don't go around saying what I do, they're always like, oh, that sounds cool. You know, what does that entail? You know?
Right.
Yeah. It's friends of mine tell people a lot, like everywhere. Like, he works with, you know, Conan and Disco. He does wrestling podcasts. He was on Jericho's show and stuff like that. And then I wind up getting stuck in that conversation for a while. Like, hey, what do you think is going to happen with this? And, oh, did you see this? Or I heard this guy doesn't like this guy. And it always exposes how many wrestling fans there are around. But, yeah, that they do that to me all the time.
Next is another one from Brad Zawacki. You're going to give a suspension here. Some of these new character pitches. Dion, Conan, have you pitched ideas in WCW Radical Change of Characters? If so, what were the ideas and storylines? Thank you all. Much respect. It's from Brad Zawacki. I pitched the Disco with the Q because all they weren't doing anything with me. And I was just like, I just didn't want to get beat in that character. You know, because that's all, you know, when you don't really have any storylines for it, but you're on TV all the time. And basically, you're just out there just like getting beat. They give me a storyline here and there, but I want to just change it up a little bit. That's it. You know, and the Terry Taylor was like, fine, you know. And plus, we were working with Coney and stuff, so that was fun because we were like, saying, why don't we just all work? They're not really doing much with us, so let's just all do it together, you know.
I don't remember this. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Conan. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I don't remember this. Maybe it was just like a week or two. But was there a time when you were ever referred to as Hip Hop Inferno?
No.
It says it on your Wikipedia, and like, no. I'm like, oh, no, shit, did I miss that?
Pull up my Wikipedia.
Yeah,
people have gone to town on my Wikipedia. Have you seen this?
Oh, it's, yeah, let's see what it looks like right now.
Let's read some of this because people are going crazy on it.
It looks like it's cleared up.
Oh, it is? Well, what is read some of the stuff? There's got to be some wacky stuff in there.
That's all legitimate. No, it looks like somebody had it cleared. This is all real stuff. Yeah.
Okay. They were saying obviously I was a sexual deviant. Like a lot of things, yeah, a lot of like, you know, stuff. I don't know. So next is from, Derek Mejia, subject is Money in the Bank. I just was in the mailbag about how to book Priest Money in the Bank cash in. To me, it seems like they missed the boat with his cash in. Now the Punk's back. He won't be Roman. So thinking back to Seth cash in, he pinned Roman, not Brock. To keep Seth strong and keep the story going with Punk and Rollins, have Priest cash in, have Punk pin him. Because in my opinion, for Raw and SmackDown, it will have to be a failed cash in. Only way you can have a successful cash in is NXT. And if he goes down to NXT and does a cash in down at NXT, being Dom was the North American champ, I think he's the best way to go. That's ridiculous. He didn't fit in with the Roman, Cody, Seth, and Punk. Thank you. And that's from the GOM. They could let Punk beat Seth and he can cash in immediately on Punk. And that's a win-win for everybody, because the Punk doesn't have the belt because, like you said, the locker room doesn't want to be perceived or given special treatment. But he gets a win over Seth, and they could go on from there. And Priest has the belt now, so I don't know, bro. If he's got to cash in eventually. I mean, there was no reason to like give him the Money in the Bank suitcase if they didn't see him winning the title. And now I'm thinking it's making it look like the plans are changing. You know, so I don't know. What do you think, Conan?
Well, it's a good problem to have. They have so many stars, they can't put them all, you know, they can save some stuff for later on. So I'm okay with it.
Next is from David Bentz. Subject is Cody's return to Roman. Cody's road to Roman. Dear K100 crew, since WWE created the WWE World Heavyweight Championship this year and CM Punk returned, it's a perfect combination to add legitimacy to said title by having a main event night one of WrestleMania. But in doing so, booking would have CM Punk win the Rumble. Said events happen, how would you book Cody end up being on SmackDown and face Roman for the title on night two of Mania? How about either the trade of Cody for Jimmy Uso to lead to that match at Mania, or Cody winning a cross-brand elimination chamber with all competitions being people the bloodline screwed over, that's like Cody, Drew, Sammy, AJ, whatever. Feliz Navidad, and if I'm late, I hope you all had a good holiday. It's David from Sacramento. P.S. F the disco haters. The man earned the right to have an opinion and give criticism. Quote, it's very disrespectful. I don't, bro. This guy's speculating. Honestly, how often do you, like, once every maybe six or seven shows will do, I'll pull out like this would be a good angle. Like I'll do, you know. So, but I'm not in the like. I'm not a fantasy booker anymore. Okay, I watch the shows and I comment on whether I thought that was good, because I don't want to predict, or you know, I want to be a fan. No spoilers. I want to see the product. I want to be surprised every single week.
Yeah.
You know, I was arguing this with Vince. You know, Vince is constantly, you know, talking about how bad that WWE creative is. I'm like, yeah, well, they're still doing stuff that I don't know what they're going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
If you review our shows only 4 or 5 years ago, we literally knew like every single segment that was happening that week based on who was coming through the curtain and what would happen the next week based on that.
Yeah.
And it's very simple to follow as, you know, they weren't challenging your thought, but like right now, it's like you can comment on whether or not you like the angles or not. But you know, you'd be hard pressed to say that like you're going to know whether or not whether or not you know what's going to happen next, which is all I think every fan wants. Be surprised at a TV. Be surprised, and they'd be like, "Wow, I never would have thought of that."
Yeah,
you know, it's ultimately what you want. Like everybody's speculating on the devil and stuff and thing, and it's kind of, and you know. I'll do one speculation here on the devil thing. I think that the whole plan all along was Adam Cole, okay? And I think they literally might be trying to stretch it out, the reveal as long as possible, until Cole is healthy again.
Sure.
Which would be for the long, because he broke his ankle, right?
Hmm.
But in the big picture, it shows like in the middle of this content that you're doing, the devil stuff thing, all the guys that like, if it's Adam Cole and those the Matt Taven on the, you know, that little crew, if it's them, the other content they've been doing where they're, you know, the Adam and all, it's been so silly,
right?
You know, like it's just right. It's just, you know, I don't know. It's just.
Well, I said last week during a Dynamite review that it was like crystal clear to me that Joe was going to turn on MJF, and I'd have to imagine especially, a lot of things the same way, you know.
Especially on that, we'll talk about it when we do the
show. Yeah. But for David, I know his name's familiar. I know he listens. I think you're overanalyzing, dude, because whoever doesn't win the Rumble and is going after Roman or whatever, they're just going to win the Elimination Chamber or something like that. You know, that's it. You're putting too much thought into it, I think.
Right. All right. So next is from Big Rig, subject is Kenny Omega's injury. It's been about a week since Kenny Omega announced his illness, and the one thing I've not heard anyone discuss is how this was not included in an angle. Seems like in years past, the heels would have attacked Omega and gotten some heat for putting him out. Disco and Conan, if you had a wrestler under your employee that had a serious injury like this, would you have worked it into an angle or gone the route AEW didn't just give the real reason for his absence? Well, diverticulitis is a serious thing. It's like it's life-threatening.
It's not an injury.
Yeah. So, but I will say this. You know, like I don't know. We talked about, we did the show last week after Jericho cut that heartfelt promo. I thought Don Callis should have come in and like cut a promo on. You know.
Yeah, but they didn't have an opportunity to do anything because it happened so sudden. He was hospitalized, and even if he wasn't, it's like you said, that's serious. He's got to get. What are you going to do? Have someone hit him in the stomach with a chair?
Right.
Just, you know, you leave it alone. He's sick. Yeah.
Next is Renegade Man. The subject is Tony Khan's new toy and Nana's popularity. Hey guys, I hope all is well for you guys. With so many talent in AEW complaining about not getting TV time, Britt Baker would be one of them. The popularity of Toni Storm and her timeless gimmick, do you feel like Toni Storm is slowly replacing Britt Baker as the number one female wrestler, and do you think Toni Khan is starting to lose interest in her? She hasn't been featured since September and has complained on Twitter about not having any TV time, and even Prince Nana's dance gets more TV time than her. Speaking of Prince Nana, he's so entertaining he's becoming popular with the fans with his dance. It's very funny and entertaining, becoming a meme. I know we discussed this in the past, but do you agree that him and Swerve should turn face right away because the fans need to get down with it and is one of the very entertaining people in the company? Here's what they need to do, okay? It's one of two things, because Swerve is getting cheered, and it's because one of the reasons he's getting cheered is because he's very talented and Nana is getting over with the fans. So you do one of two things. You make them baby faces, or you have Swerve turn on Nana to get him some heat wanted to remain a heel.
Right.
That's it. You have two choices. Like, but continuing to kind of make him like a heel, and you know, he's still getting cheered, but that's why they had to turn Seth Rollins.
Right.
You have to, when the fans are cheering you and you're getting, you know, like 75% of the fans are cheering you and they're not booing you anymore. It's like that is a red flashing light. Okay, let's do the turn. You know, baby needs to be a baby face, so I don't know.
The gentleman that runs Get Blitzed actually had kind of a score there, because he got Prince Nana to plug his Get Blitzed product on like an Instagram video and wearing the shirt. I thought that was very smart of him. I think they're going to work together in Philly in the spring for the WrestleMania week. I don't know anything about why Britt's not on TV or if there's a falling out. I don't think anybody knows, you know, but she has complained. Yeah. And Toni also deserves her time because she's been excellent.
It's funny too, because, like Swerve's cool. Like I met him and stuff. Everything. Like he's actually been to the club.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
But like we communicate every now and then, it's like when I was criticizing the Nana thing, he's like, you know, you need to get down with that. I'm like, my only criticism of the Nana thing is just that, bro, it's like, okay, it's fine, it's got good crap participation, but you can't be a heel and do that.
Mm-hmm.
It just ruins you're up against another baby face, okay, and you have, because you're an over heel, like you're one of the top of the card heels. If you're facing one of the other baby faces that's over, but the fans are cheering you instead of the baby face, it's burying the other guy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I'm not saying it's like, okay, do it. But bro, you guys just need to turn baby face for full 100%. There's a million guys that could get heat on them, you know? So I don't know.
I wouldn't speak for Conan, of course, because he would be very displeased with that. But I think the problem that he may have had with Nana, and I did too, when we did Dynamite reviews before he started doing his dance thing, was like, he was just kind of there. We didn't know what he was doing there, you know, and now he's overcome that. Yeah.
Well, the funny thing, and the thing is too, is because the guy was in Ring of Honor. We don't watch it. So I was like, but a lot of the fans knew, oh, well, he's good. I know, you know, really, I didn't even heard of this guy. It's like, because Ring of Honor didn't have the reach, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
Next is from Dale Fortunio. Subject is Glory. Hey guys, I haven't heard of anything in a while, but with absolutely stacked mid to top tier card that WWE has on both rosters, I keep thinking that a guy like Bobby Roode would be a great opponent for anyone in that group. I really wish at some point he's feeling better and is ready to return somewhere like the Rumble to start a feud with someone. With that said, if he were to appear in the company, who would you envision him feuding with? Him and a guy like LA Knight could be a good program, even with a Jey Uso. Bonus, AEW should liven up Saraya and bring in a relative to help her. Maybe introduce her luchador blemish-filled sister. Name her Psoriasis. Happy holidays. I'll suspend myself. Yeah, go
that's
ahead.
Hideous.
I don't know. Actually, I'll give you a yellow card on that bad joke.
Well, her brother just wrestled a match for AEW. I'm not sure if it was a tryout or a dark match, but I know I saw Jericho post about it.
Who?
So Soraya's brother, I should know because I saw the guy named Zach Zodiac. He wrestles as. Yeah, he wrestled... before the start of Dynamite. So yeah, he wrestled a dark match. Bobby Roode, something that I think went past, I don't think any of us knew this, but he's no longer listed on the active roster, and now he's been working backstage. So it looks like
He's backstage,
Yeah, he might be a full-time producer.
That's fine for him.
Which is great.
He's good at that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge fan of his work.
Right, right.
You know,
because he was the guy... when I watched TNA and it was like him and James Storm are both going to be the next champion or something. They pushed Bobby and he had a match against Angle for the belt and they put Kurt over. It was one of those momentum stoppers. And I was like, that was so stupid because the crowd was really behind Bobby then. And when he finally got the belt, it wasn't the same. Right. You know, they lost his moment.
I like Beer Money. I thought those guys had good.
Yeah, it was great. They were always entertaining.
Yeah. The next is from the Frontiers Man. Sub forward is a hard. The subject is Hard Body Harrison episode. Hey, howdy. A while back, you guys talked about doing an episode of the guests regarding the insanity of Hardbody Harrison. Will this ever happen? Maybe.
Maybe.
Next is from
wasn't there
Walter
like a
Lewis
brief, a brief word that maybe they're going to do a dark side on him? Didn't you say something about that?
I'd said that they should do a dark side. Yeah, suggestion. Mm. Next is from Walter Lewis. Subject is, how long will AEW last? Greetings, Fan Bambino. Thanks for getting my last question on Kenny's karma. Looks like the Excalibur named the move diverticulitis, but I believe Kenny knew of it given his role in the game.
Still with this.
Anyways, with talk of WWE and Warner Brothers Discovery, let's say they end up with a deal. What happens to AEW? Do they fail? Does WWE push for a crossover, or does WWE buy them out? The latter two scenarios could be great TV, in my opinion. What's your thoughts? By the way, D.I., I respect the heck out of you, bruv. Thanks for your service. Dude, listen to the show. We talked about this in detail.
Yeah.
Like multiple times.
Yeah. There's probably
a YouTube clip out there, too, about it. So
they'd go somewhere else. There's no buyout. There's no cooperation working together. I don't see it. So
next is from Brandon Finch. And the subject is, Tony remark about D.I., uncalled for and not true. Hey, K100, after reading about the interaction with Tony Khan and Disco on social media, I have to say these people that are in positions of power need to stop using their platform to belittle people that keep interest in the product. It feels like, according to them, unless a reporter and podcaster are kissing their butt, they're toxic. Dave Meltzer gets it all the time from Bruce Pritchard and Eric Bischoff. Dave has been reporting since the 80s. Dave wrote about the WWF in 95 when nobody cared about WWF. If Dave or anyone ever stopped, the promotion would say they were shadow banned and everyone is out to get them. The one thing these big company executives and former executives to remember is that when they stop talking about you, that is when you should be worried. I definitely think Tony Khan owes Disco an apology. Disco does multiple podcasts because he loves wrestling. Readers of the Dirt Sheets and listeners of podcasts bring fans to arenas and sell merch. The average fan doesn't buy three versions of an action figure for a limited edition collector's t-shirt or limited edition collector's t-shirt. People that read the sheets and watch vlogs and listen to podcasts about wrestling do. Nobody's going to give you a glowing review every time. There's always going to be some discrepancy in the facts, but they all should be thankful they have the following they do. And fans talk and love to read and watch stuff about wrestling. It is mutually beneficial, and the ego, I think, is the thing that gets in the way. It is not a parasitic relationship. It's a symbolic one. That's from Brandon. Hey, do me a favor, Joe.
Yeah.
So you can find this. Mm-hmm. But by the way, like, how many – all these dirt sheets report on what Tony Khan said about me, but how many dirt sheets reported on my response?
I saw one, and it was wrestling. Okay,
do me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Go look, and I want to see what the because Sean Ross Sapp blocks me. What did he say about the Tony Khan comment about me? Because I see everybody else. No, none of the other guys block me, but Sean Ross Sapp does.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll take a look.
Because that's the fact they don't report my response. That's, you know, they're showing the level of journalism that they bring to the table, which is zero. You know, they're just marks that just want to like be fanboys for AEW, which is great. You know, it's.
And I said, I tried last week when it went down and we recorded that response. I looked up any articles I could find on it, and I either hit up the site or that specific writer. And I said, here's Disco's response. You already reported on it. Great report, whatever. Kissed a little ass. And here's the response. So maybe you want to put that up. And nobody really did except this kid on Wrestling Inc. You know, and he listens and reports on our show. So.
Well, the funniest thing about it too, this just shows you how, you know, intellectually bankrupt these dirt sheet guys are, most of them, not all, right? But how and just dumb. So Tony Khan's usual tweets get like, you know, if it's like 70,000 for like minor ones, like 400,000 for some of the, like these reviews, right? And like he got a big one for Shibata, everything. But bro, the tweet he made about me got like 1.8 million views.
Yeah, it was huge.
All right, so it's obvious that it was newsworthy because all these dirt sheet marks reported on it, but they just reported what Tony, you know, what he said about me. You would think based on that type of engagement, they would like, hey, here's the response because people are interested in it, but they don't want to show my response because they don't like me.
Right.
And think about that. The dirt sheets are actually just like recovering people they like, you know? So,
yeah. Well, that's always been, you know, whispered about, and back in the day, Bret Hart would say that Dave Meltzer was just Flair's boy and he never reported accurately on Bret and all that shit. So people have always said that, or that Heyman would get his guys over in the sheets. Right. Actually, there's another one here. Cassidy Haynes of bodyslam.net did post about it with the best matches and moments of Disco Inferno article.
Oh, no, time. Right. No, but did you see what the thing is? He's that's a troll.
Oh,
too.
Oh, it's like, oh, okay. I didn't see that. And yeah. I don't see anything from Sean on it. He might've just ignored it.
Yeah. So, all right.
The guy from I just want to put him over real quick. Max Everett from Wrestling Inc. did go ahead and report on your response, and you know, so kudos to him.
I mean, not that I really, you know, whatever.
No, I know, but I wanted to test it and see who.
I was just testing. Well, you're just testing how good the journalism is, which is.
Yeah, and they didn't, you know.
Which is terrible.
Yep.
Next is from Anthony Hunt. Somebody's reins won't lay down for Cody. K100 crew, greetings crew. Mad props of the greatest book of the modern era, Conan. Two questions. Would WWE put a U.S. title on Carmelo Hayes or just a Grayson Waller to school, as we all know? As we all know, Melo is money and Melo doesn't miss. Also, rumors are going around Reigns is not happy backstage that they want him to drop the belt to Cody at Mania. Have to be honest, Orton would be a way better choice than Cody. What do you guys think? Jesus. Sincerely, Anthony Hunt. P.S. Disco, your thoughts on Tony D'Angelo, the Don of NXT? I don't watch NXT, but the clips I've seen of Tony D'Angelo is very invested in his character. So does very well. Does an excellent job at character presentation. Rumors going around Reigns is not happy. What is that?
Well, Anthony's a regular and a Philadelphia fella, so I'm just going to say that sounds like a rumor that like a friend told you, you know, because there's nothing right. like that on the internet that I can see. Even not that makes it true, but that sounds like a rumor that was just made up, you know.
So. And nothing to show that there's people in the WWE right now that are not willing to do business, do whatever they tell you to do.
Right.
I haven't seen any of that, you know. Right. So next from Derek Mejia, and the subject is Dave and Brian fight. Hey K100, hey K crew, did you guys catch a fight between Dave and Brian over the AEW runover time? For once, I agreed with Alvarez on AEW need to fix the issues with the runover. I work offshore on an oil platform, so a lot of the times I record the shows and come back and watch the end later. To Brian's point, if you record it, you miss the ending due to the runover. Dave believes it's the fans' fault because we should know that they will have a runover and record the following show. If WWE has run over, they set it in the time slot and records the whole show. And Dave says, well, AEW doesn't know if they will have run over, so it's the fans' job to figure out what the following show that comes on next is and should record that too. Half the time, we don't know what shows come on next, and I have my DVR set to record all AEW and WWE shows. Because I don't take the time to find out what the show is next and record that too, and it's not my fault. It's my fault, not Tony or AEW fault. According to Dave, how do you guys see this? Thank you. From the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. This was one of Dave's worst moments. In his what do you want to call it, the podcast or the show that you went on YouTube, right?
YouTube,
bro. Yeah. He has not. I mean, for a guy that's supposed to be an expert, dude, you have to hit your time cues. If you don't know your time cues beforehand, like that is the company's fault, the production of AEW's fault. You're supposed to have the show formatted out, and you hit your cue on time. They say, well, they don't know because the match. It's like it's a scripted wrestling show.
Yeah.
Like Dave was 1,000,000% wrong here. And the fact that he didn't know how that's supposed to work showed extreme level of ignorance of professional wrestling. And it really highlighted that like anybody that's been in the business, okay, that's been to wrestling shows and you work behind the scenes of show, anybody listening to that was literally laughing out loud at how ignorant Dave was on the subject matter. And that Brian was 100% right and was just, you know, basically reporting common sense. Now, the funniest thing, the worst thing about this is that, you know, Dave probably talks to Tony. And if Tony didn't even know this, that's even worse. Like, you can't miss your cue. You can't just let the show go on.
Right.
You have to hit your time cues. You know, so that's really like... I don't know.
Dave, you're right. And you got to love Cornette because he did 20 minutes on this. I was just looking at
it. It was funny too. I listened to it. It's just hysterical.
But as a wrestling fan since the late 80s when I was real young and then the mid 90s when shows did run over, when I DVR a show, I do take notice and I usually record it for 10 minutes extra. But that's just because I'm expecting maybe it's going to run over. But not everybody knows that. So to me, it was really an asinine argument. But of course, it should say 8 p.m. to 10:08 or 10:10, just in case if they have to. You know, people's DVRs cut off, you will miss a finish. You got to record another 10 minutes. And if they're not telling you that, how are you going to know?
Next is from Jimmy Evans. Somebody says Creed Brothers equal Boring Brothers. Hey, Conan and Dia, I just want to get your opinions on the Creed Brothers. They've been pushed like hell since their main roster debut, and do they deserve it? Sure, they're great athletes, but they really lack charisma and everything else that makes someone a superstar. Cornette said it best when he described them as two boring white boys. They just seem so basic, especially after WWE has done the amateur wrestling career gimmick with Chad Gable. With Chad Gable, Gable Stevenson, and Angle. Obviously, Angle got over his hell on Chad to an extent, but at this point, with these Creed guys, it's not working. Personally, not a fan of their finisher, the Brutus Bomb, and honestly doesn't even look good and has a high risk of causing injury to themselves or their opponents. Were they pushed too fast? Or are they worth the push? Thanks, and that's Jimmy Evans from Pennsylvania. Hmm. I'm not interested in them yet. And I said, I have the same criticism as we talked about this on the show last week. Their finish is dangerous. Anybody that argues it's not is crazy. So he already, what's his name? Priest almost got concussed last week. You know, these guys, they're falling right on top of the guys.
Yeah,
they're laying on their own shoulders. Of, I don't know. The creeds have not grown on me yet. we have this groundswell of fans in wrestling, especially in the WWE, that if you're coming from NXT, everybody's supposed to love you. Like they have like fans. Like, oh, the NXT guys are on the thing. Let's push them. You know, like as a fan base, let's cheer them. Let's call them great and stuff. And so, but you got to perform in the ring and you got to have personality. I haven't seen any personality yet. But they
are only they're only 2 years in, so maybe the guy's right. But someone sees something in them. Obviously, apparently one of the brothers was really successful in college wrestling. Well, Division III, but he was 30-0, but he couldn't compete for the championship because of COVID. So they were talented. Well, talented guys.
Here's one thing I may have missed. Either they've had segments of this, or maybe they haven't. But all I know about the Creed brothers from a character development standpoint is that they're brothers.
Right. Yes.
Do I know anything? Do they agree on everything? Do they have the exact same likes? Are they like twins? there's no dynamic there yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when they need to start writing a dynamic between the two brothers, maybe show that things they agree and disagree on and show some personality.
So. Yeah. Like think about the Dudleys or the Steiners. Rick was kind of the wild goof. Scotty was business. And, you know, yeah, they have to separate them.
Next from Jared Avion, somebody is finding the character that resonates. Hi, K100 fam. I was recently thinking about the career of Mark Calaway before he was The Undertaker. Guy with several gimmicks in the territories, but none of them clicked to an audience and propelled him to main event status, like the Undertaker persona did WWE. And this got me thinking. Can Coney give a couple examples of guys whom he knew and perhaps worked with for a long time in his early days in the business that were decent journeyman wrestlers but did not find that big-time character that clicked with an audience until later on in their career? Curious as to your thoughts. Thank you, and that's from Happy Holidays. Well, Kane did the same thing too. Bro, everybody in the Indies or the WCW, like until they go to WWE and they give you that gimmick, it's you're kind of in no man's land. Your WWE gimmick defines your career.
Steve Austin.
Steve Austin.
Foley, Triple H, everybody. Yeah,
everybody. Right. So next from Matthew Keaton. The last one is from Matthew Keaton. Subject's long term storytelling. Hello, K100 crew. Thanks for taking time to look over this WCW kids question. WCW seems to be re-engaged in long-term storytelling instead of aiming for the bi-weekly huge crowd reactions. The Bloodline story might be accused of dragging long, but it's been a high point of the show for years, and CM Punk is back, but he's not being placed at the center of every single show. Fans get to wait for big payoffs. Feels like WWE is trying to adjust audiences back to normal storytelling pace where big moments need time to build. Do you think modern audiences will be able to adjust to long-term storytelling, or have been too conditioned to expect exciting twists and turns every week? Disco Fever Forever, Matthew Keaton. Well, the WWE is trending up in the ratings over the past year or two, which means you can do long-term storytelling because your audience is progressively growing. When you want to like start doing hot-shotting TV is when your ratings start to suffer and you have to sacrifice one of your bigger things that you would have liked to save for the long term, and you have to do it right away with like less impactful storytelling, but a quick shock value factor. WWE does not have to do that right now at all, and the fans are with it.
Yeah,
they have a good base of fans that watch the show each week. So,
and they've proven it because the Roman as champion and the Bloodline and all has been going on for 3 years.
Yeah,
didn't come back in 2020 or 20. Yeah, there was no fans yet. So
right.